It's a heartfelt welcome to part two of our series, I Have Decided, and it's so good to have all of you here for the second installment. And also, let me just say welcome to all those that are watching online. It's just an honor to have you join us. Can you welcome all those that are watching online with us? All right. I think we're having a technical problem there. I want to just say before I say anything else, I don't know how to say this and cover everybody, but I just love you guys so much, and I'm so thankful for every one of you. I don't know, I think I was having withdrawals not having service last Sunday. I'm just used to being in church every Sunday, and in fact, Saturday night I was texting Dwayne, our worship pastor, who was, you know, a week before that, he was in Charleston on a little sabbatical, and so I hadn't seen him since last year, and so Saturday night I'm like, I don't have a sermon to prepare for. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't mean to be blowing up the text messaging here, but I just need somebody to talk to, brother. I miss you. And so, and he was like, we'll get back in the groove later, Pastor. Talk to you later. But anyway, so, but no, I just want to say how much I value every one of you and appreciate all what you do. And I always want to encourage you to say that you are making a difference. I want to also remind somebody here today of this fact, and that is that God is still on the throne. Amen. God's plan is still intact. He has a master plan, not only for this world, but for your life. Nothing has taken him by surprise. He has not been caught off guard. He is the omnipotent God of the universe, and he was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I just think somebody needs to know that today. Amen? God is still in charge. He is still in control, so relax in him. He has you, and our life is hid in him. I don't know who that was for, but that's just for somebody. I just felt like I needed to share that and encourage you and let you know that, you know, and also with this second fact, and that is that God is an on-time God. He is never late. And I don't know, I don't understand his timing. His ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts and my thoughts as the heavens are from the sea. But I'm telling you, God is an on-time God. So if you're in a panic and you feel like, man, I just don't know what happened last year and things didn't happen like they should have unfolded and I'm not even sure about this year, I don't know if I can have that much confidence that this is really going to be the best year of my life. Let me just tell you, God's timing is perfect. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. Amen? And so God directs our steps, and I'm telling you, God has phenomenal plans for you. I think the only way God gets limited is by us. He is an unlimited God. It was said of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. But I want to tell you, God has no limits. The only one that limits him is you. All things are possible with God. So I just want to encourage you, Dream Team, you're doing a phenomenal job. All those that are serving, you're doing a phenomenal job. I just was amazed how this worship team will come on Thursday nights and spend so much time practicing and getting ready. In fact, they were here the Thursday night before we had the ice storm. And I looked at Kim, I said, you know, we're probably not going to have service Sunday, but they're still here, and they're so faithful. And I was just overwhelmed with just gratitude. And I just want to say, y'all are doing a fantastic job, those of you that are serving and just making a difference. And you may not see the results yet, but I want to tell you, he's an on-time God, and he's never late. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're sowing seeds, and we're going to see the fruit of it in due time. If you don't lose heart, stay encouraged, right? Good amen. That wasn't in my notes. I just had to spill my heart there, okay? So let me just get us kicked off here with this second part of this series, I Have Decided. And with this question, this is not in your notes, but let me just throw this question up. With this question, and that is, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Now, we could ask that question, and we'd probably get all kinds of different answers. People come from different experiences and backgrounds, and even with different church groups, you're going to get different answers of what that means to follow Jesus. But I think it is important that we understand really how to answer this question. Oftentimes, we're following Jesus out of personal convenience rather than conviction. Oftentimes, let me say that again, we're following Jesus out of a personal convenience more than conviction. I remember hearing a neighbor one time telling me about going to church, "I just think church should be convenient." I'm thinking, well, how convenient? Isn't that wonderful? And I mean, we try to make it convenient, you know, when you're not working on a Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, this thing of following Jesus is more than you and about your convenience. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to go to the cross, okay? There's more to following Jesus than just being convenient. Actually, we live in an age of social media. You know, anybody do the social media thing? I've been told I need to up it. You know, I was doing it for a while, and I've fallen off. I need to get back on track. But the social media thing, a lot of you, I mean, you're just glued to that social media. And on social media, you know how that works. You can like something, or you can unlike something, or you can follow someone, or you can unfollow them, right? You know, and so whether it be Instagram or Facebook you're doing, I don't know. Some of you really get into that. You know, you have snowball fights online. I don't know what that's about. And you share these things. And some of these actually resemble the old chain letters you used to get that some people send through Facebook. And I just want to tell you, don't get your feelings hurt. I'm not responding, okay, when you tell me that if I click on this thing and like this and share this, that I'm going to have a great year this year. I'm sorry. That don't mean to hurt your feelings, but that gets into a little bit of witchcraft there. I'm just pastoring you and telling you that's not how we live our life. It's not on superstition. It's on following Jesus, okay? It's about following Jesus, right? So that's for free, no charge for that. But some of you, you know, so into this social media thing and you know, you got your vegetables growing. I don't know if y'all still do that or not. I remember one time I was telling my son, he was into that, and he was like, you know, "Dad, I can't be away from it. My vegetables will die." I said, "Son, they're not real vegetables. Let it die. Let it die, okay?" But now the big thing is Twitter. My wife's big on Facebook. You know, she likes to keep up with everything and everybody and see what's going on. And, you know, and there you got the pictures and all of that. Twitter's more of a man's platform, I think. You know, typically, you know, 140 characters, you know, get to the point and get on with it. You know, I don't want to see everything and all your dogs and your cats and your kids and, you know, just you know, send me, you know, the Twitter thing. But, you know, how it is on Twitter, you can pick one person to follow. Now, if you got somebody, if you look at somebody's Twitter account and they've got 2,000 people they're following, they're not doing it right, because there's no way you can follow 2,000 people and them coming across your feed, right? So you follow just a few people, you know, just follow some that you can keep up with. I made the mistake one time of following the wrong people, because some people, you follow them and they're like tweet, 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 breathe, tweet, 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 tweet. I mean, every 2 seconds, tweet. And they're just blowing up your feed there, right? And you know, you can't see anything else but them. They're just there. You're just there. And so what you do is you just have this power. You just say, boom, unfollow, boom, you're gone. Hey, you know, bam, it's over. And just kind of feel empowered. You know, just unfriend them, you know, just unfollow them. But oftentimes, perhaps in the age of social media, we have this mentality of following, that's what it's about. You know, you just follow them or unfollow them. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. The title of this series is I Have Decided. I Have Decided. You know, there's a song that has been sung, and perhaps you may associate it with Billy Graham Crusades, the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." You know, one of the verses is, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. That song is a statement to say, I'm taking a deeper commitment with Christ, right? That I'm going to follow him fully. And really, there is a serious message here. And I know we like to have fun in church, but this is one of those weeks where I just really need to get serious with all of us. We need to have a serious understanding of what it means to truly follow Christ. And when you look at the lyrics of this song, it was really based upon a story that took place in India in the 19th century, where there was this Hindu family that converted to Christianity. And to convert to Christianity in this village, it was considered basically a capital offense. And so what they would do was they would bring you out in the public square, in the public setting, and execute you in front of everyone to send a signal to everyone that you're not going to follow Christ. But in this town, this family was brought forth, and they had two boys, and these two boys were executed. And they turned to the father and said, you know, you need to renounce Christ. And he said these words. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they said, I don't think you understand. We're serious. And they continued on, and they executed his wife right before his eyes. And the next word that he said was, no turning back, no turning back. And then as he was about to be executed, right before his execution, he said, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, when you look at that and hear that story, it brings this whole thing into a whole different level of what it means to follow Christ. The question is, what does it mean to you? And so this series is based on this. What does it mean to follow Jesus, to decide, to make this decision to follow Jesus? And I want to look at what Jesus said on this topic about following. Look in your Bibles, or we'll have it up here on the screen for you, in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. Now, that's important that it was in Caesarea Philippi, because Caesarea Philippi was in a northeastern region. It was a region that was not really a holy territory. It was actually, if you go there today and tour, you'll see remnants of the old pagan gods that were there. So it was not in a church setting. And I think perhaps we need to step away from the church setting and the synagogue and think about this in the terms of not just what happens on Sunday morning, but in the context of life, right? Of where we live and where we are, where we work. So it was in this setting that this was posed, this conversation. And so on the way, he asked them, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And they replied, interestingly, they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others one of the prophets. So it was kind of an interesting response there, because there was a lot of confusion in that day. They believed in some reincarnation. John the Baptist had been beheaded. They didn't know if he was coming back or if it was Elijah. And so then he asked this question. He said, but what about you? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. Now, Jesus was saying, yes, that is the correct answer, Peter. But Peter didn't really understand fully the full extent of what that meant. Jesus said, you're the Christ. He said, you're the Messiah. You're the one that's to come. You're the one that's going to rule. They were into this oppression under Roman rule, and he believed that Jesus was going to now come, and they were going to push out the oppression. They were going to form an army. He was like, man, Jesus, you are the man. You're the one that's going to deliver us. You're going to be the president. And Peter's probably thinking, I'm going to be your chief of staff, right? You're setting up your administration, and I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do this thing. But he didn't really understand what he said. And so then he said, you're the Christ. But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chiefs, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed after three days rise again. And so he began to speak plainly with them. And as he did this, Peter took him aside. Now look at this. And he began to rebuke him. Interesting, it says he began to rebuke him, because, you know, that didn't last long. You know, he just began, okay? Think about it. Here he is, he just declared, you're God, and now he's trying to rebuke him. I mean, even if you're thinking it, would you even go there? But Peter was that kind of guy. You know, he's going to step out into the boat, out of the boat, right, onto the sea. He's the guy that kind of was the first one out there. I'm going to say who you are. And so, but then Peter began to rebuke him, and look at the response. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He was speaking to the spirit behind Peter that was influencing Peter, and he said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And so Jesus rebuked Peter because he had in mind, listen, the things of man, the things that were convenient for him, the things that appealed to what his agenda was instead of the things of the kingdom of God. And so he begins to rebuke Peter and says, you're focused on the wrong thing. And then, so he realized they were not getting this, so he calls the crowd together. And as he calls the crowd together, he's going to have a teaching moment. So he says, he called them to him with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me. Now, I'm just putting a comma right there because this is the question that we're asking today. If anyone would come after me. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, on the other side of that comma, we're going to find out what it means to be a follower of Christ. If anyone would follow Christ, and then he follows it up with this statement. He says this, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now we're thinking, oh, that's just a beautiful statement. Take up your cross. We kind of sometimes in this age, we look at the cross as some kind of romantic thing. It's just a thing of beauty. It's just elegance. It's a thing you wear around your neck. It's a piece of jewelry, but not to them. That was the worst form of execution. It was public shame and disgrace, humiliation, a horrific, horrible way to die. And he said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. That would be like us, you know, wearing around an electric chair, you know, and saying, you got to take up your electric chair. Oh, no, you're going way too far with this thing now. But yet, that's what Jesus was saying. He said that you must take up your cross and follow me. And look what he goes on to say. And then he begins to explain it. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. So he's saying if you're trying to save your life, guess what? You're going to lose it anyway. You're going to lose it anyway. You're going to, in fact, eventually we're going to die anyway. Y'all know that, you know, right? I mean, that's just part of life. Guess what? Doctors die, right? The doctors who try to keep you alive, they eventually die, right? People who eat organic food die. They just die with a nasty taste in their mouth. Come on, everybody. I'm just saying. I mean, eventually we all die, right? Hey, I'm Pastor Theron. I'm here to encourage you, right? Okay. But he's saying if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. In fact, what he's really saying there is you're really not going to understand what true living is really all about. You're going to be searching. You're not going to be finding. But then he says, but if you lose your life, you're going to save your life. He goes on to explain. He says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So he's saying, you could gain the whole world and lose your soul. What difference does it make? Some of us have been in a funeral setting and understand the full impact of that. When you look at this person who has passed away and you're thinking, how could it have been so quick? Their life, I mean, who knew that this was going to happen? And suddenly you're faced with the realization that perhaps the things that I'm investing in aren't the things that really matter. What really matters is the condition of your soul. What really matters is not the things that are temporary, but what really matters are those things that are eternal. And so we need to make eternal decisions. That's the most important decisions. And so what would we do? We need to, if we could save our own soul, that really matters. Well, the answer would be that we would do anything. We would do anything. And so Jesus begins to define what it means to do that. And he says this. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and with his holy angels. And so he defines what it means. It means that we're going to abandon all and we're going to follow him and not be ashamed of following Christ. I'll set all this up just to say this and just kind of teach this for a moment. And that is here at Cross Point, we have a lot of people that are in different walks of their life, okay? We're at different steps and different places on our journey. As a pastor, my job is to encourage you to follow Jesus seriously with your life, to go after God with all you have. And when you do that, you're going to find what life is really all about. You're going to save your life when you lose your life, when you go after Him. I thought we all knew this. Well, actually, I need to teach this, because we tend to think at times, and we get caught up into this, that if we could just find our life, it really means that we just need to live it up. We'll do it all, just go crazy and live. No, actually, it doesn't. That's not going to bring you life. You're going to be searching in all the wrong places, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Is that the song? All right. But when we can figure out, what we need to do is figure out a way to make the most of this life for God's sake, and in turn, you will find not only this great life in this life, but you'll find eternal life as well. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross." Now, the same thing here has been said in Mark, but Luke adds a different word. He says, "And take up his cross daily and follow me." Daily follow me. As if to say, this is a journey that involves a daily process of following Christ. There are steps that need to be taken in this process on this journey. And as a pastor, I'm here to help you know what this looks like as we take this journey following Christ, right? I'm just to help lead you in this journey. And so let me just say this. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, you need to be taking whatever the next step is for you to take. So I want to encourage you with these next steps and to take seriously following Christ, understanding this, that anyone who loses his life will find it, right? We could try to save our life, but we're going to lose it anyway. So I want to show you this progression in five steps of the following of this progression. First of all, there's the crowd. There's the crowd, okay? And Jesus would oftentimes minister to the crowd. And in this setting, it's basically a come and see setting, okay? A come and see. So we do that here on Sunday mornings. It's come and see. Invite your friends. Hey, come and see. And so we have a lot of laughter, we have coffee, we have fun, we have fellowship, we have music, and it's basically a come and see setting. Jesus would offer those kind of settings. It was come and see. He actually impacted the life of those disciples that were fishermen, and when they went to fish, guess what? They had a lot of fun. They filled up the boat with fish. They said, man, I'm following this guy. I'm going to check this out. And so it's a come and see moment. So that is the crowd. So it's to come and see. And then there's the congregation. It's the next progression that we see. And that is not only to come and see, but if you like what you see, why don't you come and join us and be a part? So as a congregation, come and join us. Be a part. So I'm inviting you. Perhaps you're here and you're part of just the crowd, but I'm inviting you to take the next step in the progression, and that is become a part of the congregation. So this is an invitation. Come and be a part. One of the best ways to be a part is going to happen in 2 weeks. We're going to launch our small groups for the spring semester 2017 in 2 weeks. So get into a small group. Get engaged. Get in relationship with people. Become a part. So join with us, right? And then there's another step, and that's the committed. The committed. So not only am I just coming and seeing, but now I want to come and grow. Come and grow. So these are people that have discovered salvation is not the end of the line, but it's the beginning of the line. And again, I encourage you, get into a small group that you can grow in. I heard some conversation this morning about one of our small groups. Financial peace is happening. Perhaps you need to grow in the area of your finances, right? And do the opposite in your debt. Decrease your debt and grow your finances, right? And get into that group. Maybe it's one for marriage. You need to get in one that will emphasize marriage or parenting or a men's group. But get into a group where you can grow, right? Begin to take steps where you can grow. Perhaps you're not reading your Bible every day. I make it a point when I get up in the morning. I'm not going to look at my email first. I'm not going to look at Twitter first, okay? I'm going to look at the Bible app first, and I'm going to pick up the verse of the day, and then I'm going to go from there, and I'm going to have some time with the Lord, right? Maybe it's not just Bible reading. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe you need to get in the habit of praying every day. This is a great time to get into the habit, to develop the habit during these 21 days of prayer. I encourage you, be sure, and go online. Again, these services happen live for us every morning between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, that you can go to our website and you can connect there. And if you that's not a convenient time, these services are archived for 24 hours. So anytime during your day, you can go on there and on demand, and you can click that option, and you could just spend an hour. And if you don't know how to pray, just listen to other people pray. And God's going to help you, and you're going to grow in this area. But come and grow with us in that area. So there's the crowd, there's the congregation, then there's the committed. Then the next step is the core. And so now it's not just about you growing, but now it's about you serving. I want to make a difference. So core means to come and serve. Come and serve. So come and serve with us. So, I mean, pick up a guitar if you play a guitar. Come on, right? If you teach a child. Hold a baby so a mom could come in to the service and receive Jesus. Put together a worship guide. Hand out a worship guide, right? Get involved in outreach. Do something to make a difference. And when you do, it's going to change your life. So I'm inviting you to come and serve, right? Be a part of this process. Are you sure this is a part of the process of following Christ? Absolutely. You can look around and you can find the people that are the most involved or the most happy and content and fulfilled people in the church. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. All you happy people say, wee. There we go. All right. They're happy people. Happy people. I mean, when you go out of this place and you begin to make a difference in the lives of others, it'll change your life. Like we did back when we went to the Ronald McDonald House, led by the Chadwicks this fall. We went to the Ronald McDonald House and blessed them with a wonderful meal and prepared that for them. And I tell you, when you're riding back to the church and you've served like that, guess what? You're going to be more fulfilled than hearing a sermon from Pastor Theron, okay? Because you're going to understand it's more than me just sitting, soaking, and souring. It's actually about me serving and making a difference. I have a purpose on this planet, and I'm going to make a difference in the life of somebody. That's where Christianity becomes real fun. Amen? That's when it's fun. Amen. So come and serve. So I'm saying it's okay to come and be a part of the crowd and check it out. We always want to be a church where you can come and check it out. There's no pressure, okay? Come on, just enjoy and receive. But I'm just encouraging you, there are other steps to take to move from the crowd to the congregation to the committed and to the core. So I'm inviting you, be a part of the core. Get on the dream team. Get on the dream team. And if you look at these areas, this is exactly the vision of our church, right? The crowd, come on, saying, come and see. That's what we do on Sunday mornings. That's our Sunday morning experience. And we encourage you, and I want to encourage you this year in 2017. You say, God, just draw them. Guess how He's going to draw them? He's going to draw them through you, inviting them. Amen. I'll amen myself. I needed a good amen right there, right? Encourage people to come. Yes, we're going to pray. We're going to do everything we can to do to set the table. But we need you. Listen, it's not just saying them come. We go out to where they are. The Bible says go, right? That's the gospel. Go. It's a go gospel. And we encourage them and we bring them to come and see. That's the first thing. The second thing is the congregation. Come and join us. That's our small groups. Get into a small group. Get in relationship. Get to know people. That's where you're going to grow. Life change happens, y'all know it, in the context of relationships, right? And then the next thing is the committed. Come and grow with us. That's the growth track. Get on the growth track, man. Get involved. Go through this thing. It's just 4 weeks. It's a catalyst just to get you moving. Discover what God's called you to do. And then you get to move to the next one, which is the core. Come and serve. And that's the dream team. That's the four things that we do as a church. That's our vision. So I invite you, I encourage you to do that this year in 2017. And if you do, it's going to be the best year of your life. I promise. Amen, right? If you go all in, not just stick your toe in, come on, go all in, run the play, follow Jesus, be committed, right? Be a part of the core, go all in. But then Jesus took it to an ultimate level that I'm calling us all to set as a goal for our lives, whenever you're on your, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. And that is this final step of commissioned. Commissioned. With the invitation to come and die. That's where it really gets real. And this is really when you're saying, I'm not just going to give you a Sunday or a Saturday once a month, but I'm giving the rest of my life to God. And that doesn't mean that you're going into the priesthood or you're going to be a pastor like I am, but you realize that Jesus is your life. And being a follower of Him is not just about Sunday. It's serving Him at home. It's being the priest of your home, right? It's at work that you're going to share Jesus and you're going to be a light on a hill. I'm going to give my life to this because I realize that it's not just about all about my life, it's about Jesus. So if I'm going to a football game, I'm doing a tailgate thing, man, I'm going to look for an opportunity to share Jesus and tell them about my church, right? We see every opportunity as an opportunity to do with this life, all what this life is all about, which is to prepare for the life to come. So come and die is the call. And so we're saying it's not about my life, it's about Jesus, and it's about those things that will last forever. And so I'm going to give my whole life to Him. Now, you're somewhere on this process. You're somewhere. All of us are somewhere in this process. And so what we need to do is find where we are and figure out what our next step needs to be and to begin to take our next step. And I'm telling you, it'll be the best year of your life when you do. And so no matter what goes on, good or bad, when you make spiritual decisions because you are a spiritual being, it gives you the greatest return on your investment. So if you want to be this to be the best year of your life, it'll be the best year of your life spiritually if it's going to be the best year of your life. Everybody follow me? Right? All right. So I'm going to give you a personal invitation to look at this, to go from no commitment, to total commitment. Help me there, Theron. To go from no commitment to total commitment. I'm encouraging you to go from consumer to contributor. And I'm not just consuming, now I'm contributing, I'm a part of this. And then I'm encouraging to go from Savior, that's what He does for us, to Lord, what I'm doing for Him. That's the invitation. And that's what this series really is all about. So we're just taking this journey together. My job is to make the path clear. I'm your pastor. In the Bible, they call them shepherds, okay? And so I'm helping lead the flock just as the under-shepherd, but I'm leading you to this field and to this field and this field. Say, you think that was good? Taste this one. This is awesome, okay? All right? And so we need to focus on where we are and then what our next steps should be. So we focus on those. This morning, I just want to focus on those in the first two places, those first two categories this morning. And what your steps would be. And we'll focus some more time in the next couple weeks on the latter as we go. But in Acts chapter 2, 24, it says this: those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so for some of you, you've made a decision, and I want to encourage you that if you've made a decision for Christ, that your next step is to be water baptized. That's a step, okay? And so, in fact, we're going to be changing things around here because really we need to see this in steps. We just ask you to take just one step. You know what that is? That's growth. We have a new version of the growth track that's going to be soon coming and we're releasing. It's going to be instead of 101, 201, 301, 401, it's kind of hard to follow anyway, isn't it? I get mixed up every Sunday, right? On what goes with that is Church 101. It's Essentials 201, it's Discovery 301, and it's, there it is, Dream Team 401. I needed help. Thank you, Theron. I appreciate that. So we're going to change that. It's going to be step one, step two, step three, step four. Isn't that cool? Just real simple, all right? Because we understand this is just steps. So if you have come to Christ, in fact, there's an action step that's going to be associated with the step two of the or step one of the new growth track, and that is to be water baptized. And in water, listen, in the Bible, we see that when people came to Christ, one of the first steps, the first thing, they immediately were water baptized. In fact, 27 times in the New Testament, it talks about water baptism. Water baptism is significant. Now, you may say, well, I was baptized as a child or as a baby. Well, I'm not trying, I don't diminish any significance of that to you, but let me just encourage you that while you may have been baptized as a child or as a baby, oftentimes those are dedicatory-based, okay? Dedicatory-based and not decision-based. But in the Bible, and every baptism, it was decision-based. So around here, what we do is we dedicate babies, but we baptize believers. Is that good? Okay. And so I encourage you to respond by being water baptized. If you haven't been water baptized, or perhaps you've strayed, but you're coming back and you're rededicating your life to the Lord, come on, just make that commitment anew and afresh and be water baptized. I want to encourage you to that. In fact, we're going to have water baptism. I'm just setting this out way in advance so you can prepare and be ready. The second Sunday of February, we're going to have water baptism. And today, after church, at our connection area, you can register today for that water baptism, the second Sunday of February, and we encourage you to do that. Let me give you three reasons why this is important very quickly. Number one, to follow the example set by Christ. Jesus sanctified baptism. He didn't need to be baptized because baptism is a sign that our sins are gone, that we're clean. Jesus never sinned, but he showed us the importance. He showed us that this was really, as I like to call it, the wedding band of Christianity, right? The wedding band that I wear, it doesn't make me married, okay? But it shows that I am. This is not what did it, okay? It was my commitment to Kim, right, that got me married, all right? And praise God, her commitment to me. Thank you, Jesus, okay? But it lets everyone know that you belong to somebody, right? It is a symbol. That's what this thing is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We need to make this our life verse. So whatever Jesus says to do, I'm going to do it, right? It's really our living for Jesus is not just making a decision, it's following Jesus. It's a first step in that journey of saying, okay, my following Jesus means I'm going to obey him. So he said, be water baptized. Okay, here's my first baby step. Okay, I'm going to be water baptized, right? And so we step out and we follow him. 1 John chapter 2 says this, someone may say, I am a Christian. Now, this is a hard verse, but I didn't write this, God did, okay? But listen to this. Someone may say, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. Yeah, okay, I'm a believer. I belong to Christ. But then he goes on to say, but if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to, he is a liar. So it's more than profession. Come on, it's more than our mouth. It's our feet. It's our hands. It's following Christ with our life. And all Jesus is saying, look, I went to the cross for you. I'm just asking you to get in the water. Okay? All right? So we follow the example of Christ. Number two, to demonstrate my changed life. So I'm going to wear the wedding band to demonstrate that. All of us need to demonstrate that Jesus has changed us. I heard of a beautiful, I never knew this, but I heard this beautiful story of how in older days, that even possibly even in biblical days, the way water baptisms actually occurred. We look at water baptism, you know, we kind of just dunk them this way, you know, pull them right back up. Well, in some places they would actually go into the river, and they would have white clothes on, and they would put old rags, tattered, torn clothes on top of that. And they would go in the water, and they would just basically go stoop down, right? Go under the water this way, and they would take off the old clothes, and they would come out with the pure white clothes on. And the old clothes would just wash down river. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful picture? The old life, the old dead life, all those stains would just wash down river. What a beautiful picture that is. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this in verse 21 in the Living Bible translation version. It says, in baptism, we show that we have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts from sin. So it demonstrates a changed life. Number three, to declare my commitment publicly. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And someone say, well, faith is a private thing. It's a private thing. It's just personal and it's private. The world would love you to think that. It is not private. Jesus said that you're to be a light on a hill shining out. People will know and understand that you belong to me. Come on, it's not just private. It is to be public. And I understand, as we do on Sunday morning, it's a personal, private decision coming to Christ. But after you've made that decision, you need to have a public declaration of declaring, I belong to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I have decided, no turning back, no turning back. Amen, everybody? So we're following Jesus. We're to let people know. I mean, think about it. It's the wedding band of Christianity. What if when I'm leaving the house in the morning, I took off this wedding band and I laid it by the door before I went out of the house, and then when I come back in, I would put it back on. And then Kim comes up to me and says, hey, honey, I've noticed you've been taking the ring off before you leave the house. Why are you not wearing the wedding band, right? And, you know, depending on what my answer is, there'd be hair, teeth, and eyeballs all over the place, right? Are we losing connection? We good? All right. Right? So why do we want to hang our Christianity up on a rack, right, and then leave and be in secret and not declare that we belong to Jesus? So this wedding band, when I wear it out, I'm telling everybody, see this? You can't have this, right? You can't have this. It's taken. I know that's not what you're thinking. That was probably any people are actually thinking. But anyhow, it says I belong to Him, right? So by water baptism, we're saying I belong to Jesus. Matthew 10:32-33 says this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. I didn't write that. God wrote that. So wherever you are on your journey, I want to encourage you to take the next steps. If it's water baptism, do water baptism. Perhaps it's to go from the crowd, right? Perhaps it's to go from the crowd to the congregation and saying, I just need to be in this family of God. I just need to accept Christ. I want him to be my Father. I want to be in relationship with him. So I want to encourage you to make that step today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? If that's you today and you say, I need to make a step. Perhaps that step is to receive Jesus Christ, to accept what he did for you. He went to the cross. He inconvenienced himself big time. He left all of heaven, humbled himself, submitted himself, despising the shame, but he did it for you. Did you know he died on the cross for you? And he didn't know whether you were going to accept him or not, but he did it in faith, believing that perhaps you would choose to accept what he did for you and receive him and let his grace cover your life. Today I want to help lead you in a prayer. If that's you today and if that's you, I want you to be bold. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front by my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to slip up a hand and you can put it right back down, but you say, Pastor, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. And when you lead that prayer, would you count me in quickly? Be bold. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Let's pray. If you need to pray that prayer, I'm going to encourage you, just mean it from your heart. I'm just going to help you with the words this morning. If you're watching online, I invite you to join us. Just pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross, paying a debt that I could never pay. Today I accept what you did for me. I put my faith in you. Today I decide to follow you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Come in my heart. Come inside of me. Make me brand new. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you enable me to. Thank you, Jesus, for new life. Thank you for a new beginning. Lord, I celebrate every person who just prayed that prayer. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the decision that they've made in accepting you as their Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for this church now. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to follow you in this process and this journey to take each step that's before us. That we'll walk as you lead us. God, that we'll fulfill what you've called us to do with our life. That we'll make a difference. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be eternally focused and to keep our eyes upon you as we follow you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's thank God for the best decision people made in their life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.